Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Pollad. I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks. And as usual, I have the always tough senior writer, Jonathan Strickland.
Hey.
I was trying to adopt a tough video game voice, like, you know, those big, you know, super muscular.
In a world.
Yeah.
Well, Don Fontaine, actually.
I'm sad.
We miss you, Fontaine.
Anyway.
We wanted to talk today about violence and video games, violence in video games, and violence outside of video games that may have been caused by the violence that you find in video games.
Now I want to shoot you.
Well, my work here is done.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of talk pretty much since video games really started turning pretty violent in the early 90s, I guess, about whether or not the violence you find in these games has any correlation or causation for violence in everyday life. And we wanted to kind of address this and talk about it because it's definitely one of those hot button topics. And I don't think it's been resolved one way or the other. Despite numerous studies.
Yes, I would say so. I was doing research on the podcast and, went to the library online and, there were literally, you know, at least 100 articles, you know, about both sides.
Sure.
You know, scholarly journals even. So, I mean, people's opinions are mixed.
Right.
To say the very least.
Even among the experts.
Yeah.
It's, something that, it becomes a question of who do you want to believe rather than, you know, who has the right answer, because the jury, I guess, is still out. But before we get too far into this, we should talk a little bit about, you know, kind of the reasoning behind this. You know, video games, when they first came out, the biggest concern was they would rot your brain because you'd be sitting there for hours playing them instead of doing things like reading or going outside, at least according to my parents.
Outside?
Yeah.
There's an outside?
Well, apparently there is something that exists with, you know, outside of the realm of your living room.
Oh.
Where your Atari 2600 was. So yeah, that was the big concern for a while. But then once video games started reaching a certain level of sophistication, and I mean that in a sense of graphics and sound and user interface, not necessarily in content. Once it reached that sophistication, people began to think, hey, this stuff might actually have an effect beyond just being a time waster.
Right.
So we're talking about games like Mortal Kombat. That was one of the big ones. That got a lot of people upset because it had way over-the-top violence. I wouldn't call it realistic because I've never seen a ninja shoot ice out of his hands for real.
You haven't. You haven't lived until you've seen a ninja shoot ice out of his hands.
Well, I gotta say, I haven't lived then. But yeah, Mortal Kombat got a lot of people upset, and or a lot of parents anyway were concerned about it because it was over the top violence. And of course, these are kids who are engaging in these games often, especially back in the arcade days, back when you could still go to an arcade and play against all these other kids. And you just watch a group playing around one of these games, and yeah, it seems like they get kind of, not necessarily physically aggressive toward one another, but they definitely adopt a much more, you know, aggressive kind of personality. And there's a lot of smack talking and a lot of that kind of palling around. And then the games continued to get more sophisticated, and you got into things like the first-person shooters, which really started to concern some people, especially when you had it tie into other actual real-life horrible events like the Columbine shooting. There was a connection between the people who the students who committed that act and first-person shooters that they enjoyed playing. And then people began to think, well, hey, could there possibly be something that is something about these games that's inspiring these kids to do these kind of things? And that's really where this avalanche began.
Yeah, according to David Walsh, who is a child psychologist. Did I steal one of your bits?
No. Go right ahead.
Okay. He said that the National Institutes of Health had done some research into it. And he co-authored a study that connected the playing of violent video games to physical aggression. But he cited that information from the National Institutes of Health, and it basically said the teenage brain is not fully developed. So, kids aren't ready for handling violence like this. It can actually form an impression on them and make a normally docile kid into a killing machine. And, there have been some incidents, like in June 7th, 2003, Devin Moore in a town called Fayette, Alabama, killed two police officers and a dispatcher. He had been picked up for allegedly trying to steal a car. And, at the police station, he jumped up. According to the information I read on CBS News, he jumped up and grabbed the gun and shot the police officer who had him in the head. Then when another police officer came to find what was going on, Moore shot him too, and in the head. And then a police dispatcher was at the end of the hall, and Moore shot him in the head and grabbed the keys to a police cruiser and took off. Now they caught him. He was tried and convicted and sentenced to the death penalty. But a very famous attorney named Jack Thompson picked up this case.
Yes.
And he wanted to sue the publishers of the game, which was Grand Theft Auto.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently evidence suggested that Moore played a lot of Grand Theft Auto, in which a lot of people basically, when the deal is you steal cars and you shoot people.
You commit among, tons and tons of crimes.
Yeah, among other things. And you can run people over, right. And yeah. So Jack Thompson said, this was obviously because of this violent video game, and he sued Take-Two Interactive, the publishers, and Rockstar Studios, the studio that creates the game, trying to bring him down for the obvious effect, that he claimed the game had on Devin Moore.
Sure. So, hey, what's he up to these days?
Jack Thompson? Yeah. He's cooling his heels.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, well, for one thing, he was a Florida lawyer.
Right.
And he tried to get a waiver to basically a one-time permit to try this case in Alabama. However, he has since been disbarred. in Florida permanently. Because according to the report on the floridabar.org website, he engaged in a number of unprofessional behaviors in this case.
Golly, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Well, he's I'll let him sue you for saying that. he is known to the video game industry. If you search for his name on sites that are known for gaming or technology, you'll find his name popping up a lot of places. And he does not – it's clear he does not like violent video games.
Right, and he still holds that position even though he's no longer able to practice law.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, and there are, like we said, there are definitely medical professional psychologists who are who also believe in this causality, or at least correlation between violence and the violence you find in video games. Craig A. Anderson did a study.
Mr. Anderson.
Yes, Mr. Anderson, actually Dr. Anderson, did a study in I believe it was 2001. He looked at a lot of other studies. So he did what is called in the science biz as a meta-analysis, where you take the results of various studies and you combine those results to kind of get an overall big picture of whether or not a certain theory holds any water. Here's the thing about a meta-analysis. It's tricky to do correctly. The problem with a meta-analysis is that you take all these different studies and some of them may not be very good studies. They may not have, they may have a bad methodology. There may be a very small sample size, so the data is not really reliable. But you just lump it in with everything else. So you get the good along with the bad, and there's no real way of necessarily telling how much of one you have versus the other. And so he's received some criticism for his approach to take all these different studies and combine them and try and draw conclusions from that. Now, his conclusions, he believes that there is a link between the violence in video games and real life violence. He cited several studies that suggested that after playing violent video games, children showed more signs of aggression, even if they had only played 20 minutes of a violent video game, whereas kids who played video games that didn't have violence in them, like, say, just a simple – like a race car game or something.
Tetris.
Anything like that did not show this kind of level of aggression.
Right.
So things like that he cited. And he's written several times about how he doesn't believe that that most of the studies were done very well. He doesn't think that they were poorly designed or poorly executed. Mm-hmm. So he's defended his position. But other people like Benjamin Radford, who's one of the managing editors of the Skeptical Inquirer, which is a journal about critical thinking and skepticism.
Really?
Yeah, you wouldn't imagine it from that title, huh?
Yeah. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, sure you will. It's actually an excellent journal, but he writes that the meta-analysis alone is kind of questionable, and that the link between violence and video games is not at all apparent. It may exist, but hasn't been proven. And that also correlation and causation are two different things, which is a very important point. So here's the question. Do video games make kids violent, or do violent kids like violent video games?
I am not an adequate judge to answer that question.
Yeah.
No.
I would from a common sense kind of perspective, which of course means that it's not at all
scientific. Yeah,
exactly. This is just based on my own sort of gut instinct, and I have nothing to back this up other than just my own personal experiences, and so it really doesn't hold any weight. It's just my own personal opinion. I think that violent kids do tend to enjoy violent video games. It's a way of acting out kind of a power fantasy, right? You're able to exert power over other individuals. Now, granted, these individuals may be completely virtual. They're just characters on a screen. But you're able to, like I said, exert power over them.
Right.
And so you're drawn to that because, I mean, that's the kind of personality you have, then, you know, you're going to want to play this sort of games.
Right.
And you may also be violent in real life as well, but that's not because of the video game. It's because of your, the way you are.
Right.
I don't necessarily think that a violent video game makes a person violent. And I this is anecdotal. So again, not scientific. I play a lot of video games.
You play some violent video games.
I play some seriously violent video games. I have the Grand Theft Auto series. I've played the heck out of them. I play first-person shooters. I enjoy playing these violent video games, and I am not a violent person. It has been literally days since I punched someone. No, seriously, I haven't been in a fight since I was 13 years old.
All right, then.
So that's
so how old are you now?
Couple
14?
Decades. 20, add 20 years to it.
Okay.
And there you go.
Well, you know, Christopher Ferguson wrote a report in Psychiatric Quarterly. And he said that he actually did a study on peer-reviewed journals and just to see the other literature that was out there. He found, you know, once he had stripped the bias away, according to what he said, stripped the bias away, he didn't find any support for the idea that video games cause violence. And he actually believes that there are some positive benefits, visio-spatial cognition, basically, you know, getting your bearings in the virtual world. So, you know, there may be some benefits to it, I suppose. But, you know, this really isn't a new concept. You know, talking about the violence and video games that are corrupting influences, I'm sure you may have heard of Dr. Frederick Wortham. Or maybe the title Seduction of the Innocents.
Ah, yes.
Yes, this was a book written many decades ago, almost 100 years ago now. I'm getting there anyway. I guess 70 years ago. And it was about how violent comic books were causing kids to commit crimes. And then there's the whole heavy metal music causes kids to commit suicide.
You want to go even further back?
Oh, sure.
Talk about Victorian England.
Oh, yeah?
Where there were some people who believed that that a performance of The Incredible Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde somehow managed to inspire Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, this is something that goes way back, talking about fantasy somehow impacting reality.
Yeah.
And the reason why video games, I think, gets more attention than, say, I mean, obviously you've got parent councils that are concerned about violence in all forms of media, not just video games. But the reason why video games, I think, get a lot of attention is because you take an active role. You're not just passively watching or reading. Your actions are being translated into this video game world. So I think it's that extra step that concerns some people.
And I think, too, part of it is that some of the populace is just not into video games. They've never played them. It's new for a lot of people.
Sure.
You know, for example, ballroom dancing, I won't admit to watching Dancing with the Stars, but I, you know, possibly may have been in earshot of a TV when they said that I think it was the waltz was considered risque at one time. Now, we've all been alive. Everyone, you know, on the planet now was alive since the waltz was a normal thing. So to think about it in that context, you think, what are you kidding?
Well,
you know,
yeah.
We have violent video games now. That's so much more corrupting. But, you know, in 100 years, it may not be such a big deal.
Yeah.
They'll find something else to be outraged about.
You can hear the same thing about certain composers when some of their, like Beethoven, several of Beethoven's pieces got the same sort of attention. Getting back to the video games, I wanted to mention one other study, which was conducted by Patrick Kierkegaard, and it was published in the International Journal of Liability and Scientific Inquiry. Kierkegaard also decided that, or from his research, he decided that many of the claims that violence comes, like kids were becoming violent because of the violence of video games, he thought that those conclusions were faulty. He didn't go so far as to say that they were completely wrong. He just said that you couldn't support that from the studies that were conducted. So again, it's one of those, the question is still up in the air. I bring that one up because it was fairly recent. I had first heard about it, I think it was this past spring. So, again, studies are still ongoing. I'm not sure that we're going to get to the bottom of this anytime soon. For one thing, I think there are way too many variables. and too many factors to take into consideration. It's hard to boil it down to, hey, you know, little Billy just played Mortal Kombat and then he's going to go and punch his sister. And I mean, there are too many things to take into consideration to just blame it on one factor.
And I don't think that video games are completely innocent. To be honest, somebody who is going to commit a violent act like that may find inspiration.
Yeah, but they can find inspiration from anything, though.
Well, you know, it doesn't help when you hear things say, according to CBS News, when the police brought in Devin Moore, he said, the quote was, "Life is like a video game. Everybody's got to die sometime." So but that just adds fuel to the fire when people say that this is a result. And then you see, you know, an act like, I remember a report of a school shooting, some time ago now, where the kid shot out the mirrors in the bathroom, in the school bathroom. And at this point, it's apocryphal because I had difficulty finding it in the short amount of time I allotted to find that particular article. Mm. But that actually is directly from what, Duke Nukem, I believe, where there are actual power-ups behind the mirrors?
There may have been.
So
this argument to me doesn't hold any water because you're talking about disturbed individuals who will take anything, latch onto anything, and that could fuel their power fantasies. I mean, we see the same thing with the arguments against role-playing games where parents were saying, hey, this role-playing game is corrupting children. It's going to convince them to become Satanists. They're going to kill each other. And you're talking about saying that kids should not indulge in any kind of fantasy play at all because there's the danger that they're going to believe the fantasy is reality. I think that's just ridiculous. I think really that you have certain individuals who are predisposed to that kind of psychosis, but you can't sit there and say that the fantasy was the cause of it. It's the cause is internal. It's not external.
No, I actually agree with you. What I meant was, for somebody who is already predisposed to that kind of an action,
sure,
they can latch on to something they see in a comic book or in a movie,
but then
on the street.
The solution to that would then be eliminate all interesting stuff everywhere for fear that it could cause someone to go off the deep end.
Right. And I'm not advocating doing that.
That's
I'm just saying that
I was totally going to punch you. Oh, no, I've fallen into your trap, Paulette.
I see what you did there.
Oh.
I'm just saying that it's just impossible to blame that one thing.
Sure.
But, an event like that.
It can definitely
add fire to that link that people are looking for.
Definitely. I agree with that.
So, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. I'm calm now.
All right. Sure you are.
Serenity now.
Nice.
Wow. Well, this was a good conversation. We got heated in that argument a little bit.
Which is good because it's cold in here.
And it is a little chilly.
Anyway.
So I guess we can probably wrap this up. Did you have any other interesting studies or anything you wanted to bring up?
No additional studies at this time.
The
defense rests.
We'll get back with you. The question is still up in the air. I think it probably will be for quite some time. There'll definitely be more studies. And another thing to keep in mind, I should have pointed this out earlier, is if you're reading a study, find out who commissioned it. Because there may be bias in there.
Yes, that's absolutely the truth.
If it's a completely independent study, then you can feel a little more comfortable that there is no bias. But if it's something where a parent-teacher association has funded a specific study, that brings into question the findings. I mean, you know, even if the scientists were trying to go straightforward and not make the results lean one way or the other, when you're receiving money from a specific interested party, that gets a little complicated.
Absolutely.
So keep that in mind.
Yep.
But if you want to learn more about this, we have a great article on the site, actually. It's called "Do Violent Video Games Lead to Real Violence?" And that was written by Julia Layton. And it was updated as late as the spring. So it's up to date, too. So I would recommend checking that out if you want to learn more.
Also, I would play this podcast backwards for our secret message.
Yeah. I hope you guys find it. If you do, write in and tell us what it was.
And then we'll probably send somebody out and they will run you over.
Right.
I don't know where I'm going with that. I'm done.
Guys in the white coats will show up. Anyway, make sure you visit howstuffworks.com to read this article and others, and we will talk to you again soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think.
send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.